All right, good morning. All right. How's everybody doing? We're in for an exciting time. Everyone stand up. Touch two people on the shoulder. Two people on the shoulder. Okay? Now touch two people under their chin. Touch two people under their chin. Now turn around to two people, shake their hand, and say, "This is going to be a magical weekend." All right, grab a seat. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Inner Circle training. You are the members of the Inner Circle in the Global Information Network. Yeah. That'd be great. It's going to be great. All right, grab a seat. I want to talk briefly about the inner circle so that we're all on the same page, that we're all singing from the same hymnal in terms of what the inner circle is and why the inner circle is. So the reason why we have an inner circle is a couple specific ones. Our growth is happening faster than virtually any kind of organization of this type. And there's really not a lot of organizations of this type. But if you look at network marketing companies or multi-level marketing companies and you kind of look at those, we're growing faster and more robustly than any probably in history. Maybe the exception of a couple, maybe Herbalife, or there's a few that had some really big growth spurts. If we look at membership clubs, there is none that even come close. I was just at a private retreat a few weeks ago, and there was a woman there who owns one of the largest art galleries in Washington, D.C., and she gets the contracts for the big hotels, like the Marriott Marquis for $14 million to put in all the artwork in the hotel over the next 3 years, and she's an incredibly well-connected person globally. She goes over to Dubai and Abu Dhabi and works with the royalties there in terms of their art collections and so forth. So this is a very affluent, prominent person globally in the art world. Very, very wealthy individual. And we were chatting and she says, "You know, I'm a member of a private club. And we're just having our 20-year anniversary. We've been now a club for 20 years and we're global." I says, "Oh, that sounds terrific." And I said, for entrepreneurs and people who are into business and being an entrepreneur primarily and want to achieve financial success. And I said, "Well, how big is your club?" She goes, "You wouldn't believe it. We have 8,000 members." I said, "Oh, that's terrific. Yeah, we have conferences all over the world." I says, "Oh, are the conferences free to the members?" "Oh, of course not. They have to pay for the conferences." "How much are the conferences?" "Well, we have one coming up in New Zealand. It's $7,500 for the conference." And I go, "Does that include meals and hotels?" And, "Oh, no. That's just for the conference. That's just so you can get into the conference." She says, "But you can't even get in unless you're a member of our club. And, you know, you meet people and get seminars and so forth." "Okay, good." I says, "Is it expensive to join your club?" She goes, yeah, it's $1,500 initiation dues, and then there's $500 annual dues. Okay. And I'm telling you this to put it in perspective. And then we started chatting, and then a little while later, she asked me what I was doing and so forth, and I had mentioned that I'm a member of a private club as well. And she says, "Well..." I said, "It's a little different. It's just not for entrepreneurs. It has a, you know, more mass appeal, I think. It's for anybody who wants to achieve more in life. They don't have to be in business. You know, it's for anyone." She said, "How long has it been around?" I says, "Well, we're very young. We've only been around for about 2 years." Oh. "And you have a lot of people." I says, "Well, the number of members is, you know, confidential, but, you know, we have our winter leadership cruise coming up.
And we have 5,000 members. They'll be on that cruise from all around the world. She just went. 5,000 members on the cruise. And I said, yeah, that's a small fraction, obviously, of the entire membership base. And she says, how much is that cruise? I go, it's free to the members. How much does it cost to join your club? I says, well, it's $1,500 initiation dues and $150 a month dues. People pay that? I said, yeah, but they get all the seminars for free. They don't have to pay $7,500, and when they join, they get to go on the cruise for free as well. Can I learn more about this club? I said, yeah, give me your name, and I'll talk to you about it later. But the point is, we're growing at a rate that's really amazing. Not just in the U.S., but abroad. We have people here I know I met from, I believe, the U.K., Australia, France, and Canada, of course, and the United States. But we're growing at an amazing rate. When we start translating our website and all the tools into various languages, which is going to start becoming more aggressive this year, and we're looking at our biggest countries, which are the U.S., Canada, and the third biggest one is France, growing really, really well. And we have a lot of other countries as well. Brazil, Germany, Switzerland, it's starting to grow without language conversions. But when we start doing language conversions, this thing could take a jump that'll just go through the roof. Now, when that happens, that's good and bad. It's good because we have a lot of members joining. And the reason a lot of members joining is good is because when a lot of members join, every member gets more member benefits. So the amount of member benefits you get for your dues just keeps getting better and better and better, and bigger and bigger and bigger, which is fantastic. The reason it's bad is when you have so much growth in the beginning, you have the blind leading the blind. You have so many people who just join and nobody knows anything. So it won't be until we grow down the road where we have a large percentage of our members who've been around for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, who have gone through the training, been through the functions, and really can understand what we are. And when a new person joins, they're surrounded by veteran members who can make sure these people, and attitude-wise and so forth, stay on track. So when you have tremendous growth, you have a lot of people who just don't know anything. How many people here, curiosity-wise, by a show of hands, were at the Cancun launch event? Okay, a lot of you. Now notice the percentage here in the room. Keep your hands up. The percentage in the room, it's about 20%. Okay, only about 20% of you, thank you. About 20% of you were at the launch event, which means only 20% of you have been around for that long. See, the rest of you haven't been around that long. You with me? So those people have seen this thing grow, and they have maybe a different perspective than a lot of you who are newer. So as we grow, if we hit this massive growth spurt, we're going to have much higher percentages of rookies than we do veterans. Now, the reason that that's potentially problematic is attitude-wise. For those of you who are at Cancun, do you remember when I asked the question, how many people here in the room, this is your very first gin event? Of course, everyone raised their hand because it was our very first gin event, right? And I said, how many people here don't know a single person? Everyone raised their hand. They didn't know a single person in the room. I says, how many in the room know how to act at an event? Nobody raised their hand because they'd never been to one. How many know exactly what to expect? Nobody raised their hand. So if you're sitting in the room and you don't know how to act, if you don't know a single person, if you don't know what to expect, what's your attitude like? It's a little nervous maybe, a little apprehensive, still checking it out. You with me? So there's a vibration there, correct? There's a little bit of maybe skepticism. So when you have a group growing really quickly, the challenge is you have a high percentage of people that are in, but they're not in. Do you understand that? They're in, but they're not in. So their vibration can overpower the people who are in. And because there's so many of them, their vibration can actually negatively influence those who are in. Do you understand that? So as it grows at huge rates, good and also potentially not so good. So in order to counteract that, we decided to put together an inner circle group, initially of 100 people, and then because the growth just looked so big and these numbers looked a little out of balance between new people and existing people, we needed to go to 200. So we wanted to put together this inner circle group, and the reason we put it together was multifaceted. First and foremost, we needed to have a group of people that were really in. I mean, they were in. You guys are in. And because you're in, you're going to be different in terms of the way you think than those who maybe are just not so plugged in. So the inner circle group ideally should be the most plugged in people, which means the people that are going through the training, listening to the most audios, reading the most books, going to the most functions, the most plugged in. Not all of you are building an affiliate program, that's not a requirement, but you're plugged in at a very, very high level. Because of that, we then can use this group collectively as opposed to individually to counteract the rookie thoughts. When I pull all of you together and get you to broadcast a identical frequency, each one of you is like an antenna. So I want you to imagine that every one of you here has a little antenna sticking out of your head. Individually, if I say broadcast, you have power in broadcast. If I say you broadcast at the same time, the same frequency, your broadcast and your broadcast actually mesh together and have a more powerful broadcast. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's not 2 times as powerful. It's 3 times as powerful. And if I say you broadcast and you broadcast and you broadcast at the same time, all of your frequencies mesh together, and it's not 3 times as strong. It becomes 6, 7 times as strong. Carry on. Do you understand? So as an inner circle group, we have the ability to once a month or whenever we need to get all of you together to focus on and broadcast a similar frequency. And when that happens, it is so strong and so powerful because it's done collectively. It will counteract any of the rookie thoughts and also not just counteract, but help influence them. And help influence all the people in Jinn. So that's very significant and very, very important. So that's one of the first reasons we need to have this group together. The second reason is to help the group grow. Even though we're seeing spectacular growth, we have the same ability to manifest what we want in our club. If we want more growth, then once a month when we get on our telephone call, we can broadcast a growth pattern. And then collectively, we can manifest for the club what we want because we can send out a collective broadcast. So it allows us to manifest more benefits to members so that the members benefit more. Thirdly, we get to broadcast for one another, collectively as a group, helping each one of us manifest more as members of the Inner Circle Club. And lastly, because the price of this seminar was so high, it allowed us to generate a lot of revenue which we can then in turn use for all of the various promotions and incentives that we've been putting in to help fuel the fire, if you will, or stoke the fire, or get the momentum going with our club. As you know, over the last year and a half, we put in some really crazy and insane promotions in terms of cash requirements to help our club grow to the benefit of each individual member and the benefit of our club. That momentum catches fire, if you will. It gets going, it continues. So that's why we have the Inner Circle Club. Why do we charge such a large amount of money? Two reasons. Number one, we charge a lot of money so that we can generate large amounts of revenue so we can use it for member benefits to pay for all the incentives. And it doesn't pay for all the incentives, a fraction. Myself and the other council members also have funneled a lot of cash in as well, the majority of the cash. But the second reason is this. When you put up a large amount of money, you've put up a large amount of money. When you put up a large amount of money, you have a much bigger interest in something working. Wouldn't you agree? So you have a personal interest, and it makes your ability to broadcast and focus and do the job much better. So that's why we have the Inner Circle. Now, how does the Inner Circle work? This weekend, there are some very specific things that I'm going to teach you. It'll take 5 minutes for you to learn. And a lifetime for you to master. It's really not hard. For those of you who are existing Inner Circle members, it really isn't hard. So this weekend, what we do is we take bits from levels 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Just a little bit. I'm giving something very specific. And what we're teaching you very specifically is how to broadcast and how to make something happen. So that's specifically what you're going to learn. It's not hard. It's going to take a very short amount of time for me to explain it to you. It will take a lifetime to master. But that's what this weekend is about, to teach you that technique. You're at various levels in the Success Mastery course. The reason that some of you will take this and understand it, comprehend it, and be able to do it better than others is because of your level of understanding of the Success Mastery course. Imagine learning mathematics, and if this was the first grade, and I said, okay, I'm going to teach you the numbers 1 through 9 and 0. And I teach you 1 through 9 and 0. Then I say, now I'm going to teach you calculus. You'd have no idea, right? Except the prodigies in the room would get it. But everybody else would be looking at me like, huh? Because I haven't taught you addition. I haven't taught you subtraction or multiplication or division. I haven't taught you algebra. I haven't taught you anything. So how are you going to know calculus? So same thing here. Some of you have gone through levels 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 to varying degrees. Some of you really haven't plowed into that. Some of you have skimmed it over, and some of you really have. Some of you have gotten it, some of you haven't. So the reason we have these numbers, the other additional reason why we have the number here, is every one of you has the potential to really get it. But you have to really get it. It's really you that has to really get it. So this weekend, I'm going to be teaching you some very specific things on how to broadcast and how to manifest. Now, after this weekend, what is your job? Your job is once a month, we get on a conference call, phone call. And I give you something to broadcast. I give you something to vibrate. And we do that for around 15 minutes. It's different every single month. I also give you some things to think about. I also give you some maybe additional training, a little bit, sometimes some updates. It's a short call. And we do something collectively on the phone each month, which means you're all broadcasting. Doesn't make a difference where you are in the world. All the frequencies come together and have massive power. The second thing that happens is the next day, you then have a job to do. And that job is you sit down in a quiet place and you write out the command that I gave you on the conference call. And you physically have a white piece of paper, a pen with blue ink, and you write this out in this quiet place using a technique. You physically write it out 70 times. And you do that for 7 days in a row. And you're going to be sending those papers in. And that's your job. Now, from a financial standpoint, you made a large capital investment to join the Inner Circle Club. You're going to be offered a consulting agreement in which you can get paid. If we didn't even have the consulting agreement and you just learned what you're going to learn this afternoon, it's worth the money that you paid to be here. Because you can apply this in any area of your life. And what we do collectively with one another over the next few years is going to have a more profound impact in your life than even getting these checks. So that's good. But let's take a financial arrangement. Let's say that you have $100,000 cash that you want to put someplace. Tell me where you could put $100,000 so that, and let me give you a scenario. Where could you put $100,000? And here's the deal. You put $100,000 up. You get no money for 5 years. None. But then you get $50,000 a year for the next 25 years. If I said, I have a buddy of mine who has some deal, and the deal is you put up $100,000, you don't see any money for 5 years, but then you get $50,000 a year for the next 25 years. That is a phenomenal, unheard of rate of return, correct? It's like, can I give $1 million? I mean, this is unbelievable. It's unheard of. It's unheard of. So when you look at this, next year, the year after, 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 if we grow, your yearly check should continue to go up and 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 continue to come in and 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 come in. It should be unbelievable. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
I mean, it's solid. Any questions, comments, or observations about anything we covered so far? Yes. Good question. The question was, if a new person says, how many members are in the club, what's the appropriate answer? Well, for most people, I don't know. You know, saying, well, we usually keep that confidential. At our last big function on the ship, we had 5,000 members. Obviously, that's just a small fraction of the total number of members we have. So that's, you know, usually a good indication. Any other questions? Yes. That's a very good question. The question is, you know, you're going to be learning some specific things this weekend. And, you know, should you be sharing it with others? The answer is you don't want to be telling people, this is what I learned in Inner Circle training. Okay? But if you want to guide somebody in terms of what to do correctly, there's really nothing wrong with that. You have to understand how things are perceived and how things are understood. I can tell you stuff from level 12 right now, and you'd all look at me like, because you're not going to get it. Not going to make any sense to you at all. It's going to go in one ear and out the other, or directly over your head, and it'll be as if I've never said it. But I planted a seed that begins to germinate. And so that's how our training is done from levels 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. If you go and you're a level 5, for example, you're learning stuff and you're going, son of a gun, didn't he say something like this in the level 1 training? And then you go back and like, I don't remember him saying that. Now I do. Wait a minute. How come I didn't hear it when I listened to the level 1 training? Because you weren't ready for it. It wouldn't make any sense to you. And so as you go through, I plant the seeds in levels 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. And there's stuff in there that I'm planting seeds for level 7, 8, 9, 10, and so forth. So that's how the training works. So the answer is you're going to be learning some stuff that you're going to be able to apply. When you're working with somebody, you know, to help guide them on to doing the right thing, you know, this is going to take 5 minutes to learn, a lifetime to master. And really, it's not... It's a fine tuning, if you will, of what's in the basic training in levels 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's really just that distinction that makes the difference. Yes. The question is, do I keep my inner circle membership private, or do I let people know that I am an inner circle? There's nothing wrong with being proud of the fact that you're a member of the inner circle, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to just not tell anybody that you're a member of the inner circle, whatever you feel good about. If you do want to tell people that you're in a circle member, whether they're in gin or outside of gin, they may say, well, what's the inner circle? Well, it's a high level, very confidential group of people. There's about 200 of us and from around the world. And we do confidential things to help gin grow collectively as a club. What goes on? Well, I can't tell you. You know. And so that, but that's really what you would, you know, say to somebody. Okay. Now, let's talk about how to make things happen. Before I tell you how we're going to be working as a group to make things happen or make things manifest, because that's basically what this club does, one of the things is collectively we focus on a specific objective into gin. How do we make that happen? What do you have to do? There's a way to broadcast so that comes to pass. Every single intention that we put out as a membership for inner circle intention, every one of them so far has happened, with the exception of the 100,000 members, but that's in a few short years. But every other intention, every other specific intention has happened. And if you actually look at when that intention was put out and looked at the numbers, the intention was fantasy. Because here's the math, here are the numbers. That can't happen. That's unrealistic. We put the intention out, then all of a sudden, all the math changes. All the percentages change, all the ratios change. Something goofy occurs. So the work that we do absolutely 100% works. And it absolutely 100% is making things happen in the physical universe, in physical reality. It is absolutely 100% real. Now, in order for you to understand how this works and how you can increase your power, you have to understand a couple basic concepts first. The first basic concept we talk about in levels 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. And that concept is, you have a biological DNA. A DNA strand is biological, comes from your paternal side and your maternal side. That DNA says some of you are going to have blonde hair, or brown hair, or red hair, or no hair. Right, a deal? That DNA is also going to say whether you're going to have brown eyes or hazel eyes or blue eyes. It's going to say whether you're tall or short. There's a lot of factors in that DNA. That DNA virtually controls your biochemistry, the physical body. That DNA also has a vibration. There's no known two identical DNAs. There could be, but there's no known two identical DNAs. Everyone's different. Even in identical twins, the DNA is different. They're incredibly similar, but they are different. The DNA vibrates. It has a frequency. It is set to a channel. It is set to a station. And it broadcasts that same frequency 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That frequency that it broadcasts means certain things are attracted into your life and into your reality. It's a beacon that's putting out a broadcast, calling for certain things. And certain things come into your reality. The DNA frequency can be altered, and it can be changed. It can be changed and altered by outside influences, such as wireless devices, iPods, iPads, tablets, wireless computers. Any electronic equipment, high-definition TVs, 3D TVs, cell phone towers, satellite transmissions from DirecTV, Doppler radar, FM, AM radio waves, electricity in general. It can alter and change that frequency. A crystal, a piece of gold brought in close to you can alter and change that frequency. Some of these outside influences enhance or increase the intensity of your vibration. Some will actually change the vibration. Some of those changes could be defined as for the better. That's subjective. And some could be defined as to the negative or for the worse, depending on who's deciding what's good and bad. When the frequency is changed, that means you attract different things. If the frequency is enhanced, you attract more of what that frequency is bringing in. And if it's stuff you don't like, you get more of it. And if it's stuff you do like, you get more of that too. The easiest way to change your DNA frequency is with your own thoughts. Your thoughts are the easiest way to change that DNA frequency. Now, it's important to understand the difference between the DNA and the frequency of the DNA. I didn't say you can change the DNA strand, which means magically change your blue eyes to brown, but you can change the vibration of the DNA, and there's a difference. So first is we have the biological DNA. Next, we have what's called brain wiring. Brain wiring. Every one of you has different brain wiring. And let me give you some examples of what I mean by brain wiring and different brain wiring. You take 10 kids in the first grade. They all come from the same neighborhood. All the parents work at the same plant. They're all union workers. They're all from the same socioeconomic crowd. They were friends growing up. There's really no difference in their environment. They're all average kids. One kid has an inclination to painting. He just has a knack for it. Another kid has a knack for playing the piano. Another kid is great hitting a baseball. Another kid is just, he's got it when it comes to math. Another kid has a voice, man, like an angel. He sings. You with me? They're all the same. They're all different. They're all wired differently. One kid just is wired to play the piano, but man, put him on a baseball field, he looks like a clown. He can't throw the ball, he can't hit the ball, but man, put him in front of a piano and he's a genius. Another kid is great with mathematics. I mean, just doesn't even need a calculator. He's got it. He nails it. He's got math down, but ask him a question about history and he's a buffoon. Not up his alley. Another kid paints. Man, what an artist. He's just got a gift. He's got a gift. He has a gift. Painting. But that's all. He's shy, doesn't talk really well, doesn't do well in school, but he's got a gift when it comes to painting. Where does that come from? That comes from our brain wiring. Our brains are wired differently. Some people have brain wiring that's really good for strategy. They can play chess, and they understand the strategy. They can see 20 moves ahead, and that's really, you know, their brain works that way. Another person never will get strategy, never be able to think 20 moves ahead. Some people's brains are wired for business. They can look at something, a product, and they can just see this product ain't never gonna sell. And somebody else looks at that same product whose brain isn't wired for business and says, oh, this is great. And they wind up losing all their money because their brain just isn't wired that way. We see this all the time with inventors. There's shows on television about inventors. And it's shocking when you see the inventor whose whole life is poured into this invention, which nobody in the world wants. You know, there was one guy on this invention show, and he was just, I mean, so passionate about his invention. And he was convinced that everyone needed it, and he was going to get rich from it. And in his mind, there was just no other way of looking at his invention. It was something everybody wanted. Everyone. Why? And he was just so convinced. And it was an invention that you had a paintball gun, and he took paintballs and put some chemicals in the paintballs. And the invention was you needed two paintballs. Each one had a different chemical. So you had to load them in the gun one after the other. And then if you were on your camping trip and a wild animal was coming at you, wanting to kill and eat you, rather than shoot the animal to protect yourself, this invention distracts and scares the animal by starting a little fire when you shoot both paintballs. You have to get both, one on top of the other. So you have to shoot the first paintball at the animal, and then in the exact same spot, shoot the second paintball, because the chemical from the second paintball has to mix with the chemical for the first paintball in order to cause the fire. And of course, there is a 15-second delay before the fire starts. The animal's going to eat you, okay? This makes no sense at all. First off, the idea that you have to hit two perfect shots in a row, number one, is beyond belief. And then you have to tell the bear, wait, 15 seconds. The fire is going to not really hurt you, just distract you. Your fur will catch a little fire and you'll run away. And I'm doing this to protect you because you're my friend, the bear. And then when they said that this was a dumb idea, the guy went crazy. I mean, his brain is not wired to reality, quite frankly, this guy. Or logic, or anything else. But our brains are wired differently. Okay? Our brains are wired differently. It's important to understand that people's brains are wired differently. It makes it easier for us to communicate and see people from their viewpoint. And it's important to understand how our brains are wired. Because when we have self-awareness and understand how our brains are wired, we then understand what we're better at and what we're weaker at. Can brain wiring be changed? No. It can be slightly altered, but not completely changed. And I'll give you the example. A lot of us, I think, have no chance of being an artist. But if we all took art classes, we could all get better than we are right now. But most of us, our paintings would still be thrown away in the trash, even a year from now. We just don't have the talent. But we could be infinitely better than we are right now. Playing the piano. All of us can learn how to play a little bit on the piano. But unless our brain's wired for that, we're never going to play really, really well. All of us can get better in business, or all of us can get better in mathematics, or all of us can get better in history. We can all get better, is the point. But it may not be our strength. It may not be how we're wired. This is an important concept of understanding. One of the great reasons people fail is they think they're brilliant businessmen and they have no chance, because that's not how they're wired. And if they want to succeed in business, they have to surround themselves with brilliant businessmen who are wired that way. Otherwise, they're not going to make it. Rich DeVos and Jay Van Andel were the two guys who founded Amway Corporation, one of the very rare partnerships that lasted forever. They both started the company together, best friends since high school, business partners. Jay Van Andel was wired for business, but he couldn't talk in front of a group of people and save his life. Rich DeVos was the ultimate people person. He loved talking to people. He loved talking about his product. He loved talking about his marketing plan. He loved motivating people and encouraging people. He loved building that business in the field. But math, business, strategy, investment, percentages, payouts, that wasn't in his wheelhouse. So that's what Jay did. And they both understood how their brains were wired. Rich didn't want to be Jay, and Jay didn't want to be Rich. That's why that partnership lasted so long, and still to this day does. Although I think Jay passed away. So you have to really analyze, how is your brain wired? And when you understand that, and you understand that you shouldn't try to be someone you're not, just like if you're 4'11", don't try to get into the NBA. You know, we talk about you can have, be, and do anything and everything you want. Someone would say, well, isn't that a lie? No, I remember the words of Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar needed to lose 37 pounds. He went to a doctor who was a weight loss expert. And he said, Mr. Ziglar, I'm going to put you on a diet, but I have good news. On this diet, you can eat anything and everything you want. She goes, that's great. And the doctor says, yes, and here's a list of what you're going to want. So you can have, be, and do anything you want. When you understand some things, what you want will change. What you desire will change. Some people don't want to be an opera singer. Some for good reason. So your wants will change. Your desires will change. So when we say you can have, be, and do anything you want, that's true. But your wants will change and your desires will change. And somebody says, but I really, 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 really want this. When you think about it, how do you feel? I feel like crap because I don't have it. No, you feel like crap because you're not congruent with who you are. That's really why you feel bad, which we're going to talk about in a moment. So brain wiring. Next. Imagine, depending on what religious belief you come from, this can be different in terms of how you picture this in your mind. But just imagine that you are a spiritual being. So not only do you have a DNA vibration, not only do you have brain wiring, but you are a spiritual being, which also has a vibration, your essence, if you will. Some people call it a soul. Some people call it your spirit. Different words. Some people don't believe this exists at all, which is fine. Then you just don't have to believe in this concept, but something just to chew on. But just imagine that you are a spiritual being. You are a, not you have a, you are a. And this also has a vibration, and every one of you has a different vibration. Now this vibration at the core is your pure vibration. And everyone's are different, but almost identical. Different, but almost identical. All different, but amazingly similar at the core. But there's a lot of stuff outside the core. There's a lot of stuff that you've put there yourself. Your own beliefs, your own decisions, your own postulates, your own understandings of things. So it's layered like an onion. And over time, there are more layers put on, altering your essence, your true vibration. So it's changed over time. Ideally, over time, you want to get rid of all the junk that you've put on top of who you really are, so that the true you vibration is all that's there. That could take several lifetimes to do. So we have to understand what it is. And then there are a lot of things that you could do to help strip some of these add-ons, if you will, which altered your core, who you are vibration. Lastly, you have a brain. Your brain transmits frequency and vibration at your command. The brain transmits whatever you tell it to transmit. The brain wiring is different than the brain transmission or brain broadcasting. I'll use broadcasting. So your brain broadcasts frequencies, transmits frequencies. And you have 100% control over what you broadcast. Any questions, comments, or observations about this? Yes. Excellent question. Question was, the DNA is inherited biologically from the paternal and the maternal side. is the vibration of that DNA, is that more influenced from the biology or from the spirit? The answer is about 50-50. Yes. Let me explain this. The question is, it goes back to this very interesting dilemma, which is you can have anything you want, but what if you're not wired for it? Or what if you want to be in the NBA and you're 4'11"? How do you justify that? And I said, if you really want something that's not congruent with who you are, it's going to make you feel bad because you're never going to get it. You just can't. So you have a DNA vibration, you have brain wiring, you have a vibration of the spirit. So here's how it works. If you're broadcasting something that's not congruent with the vibration of your spirit, your brain wiring, and your DNA vibration, you're going to feel bad. If you're broadcasting something that's completely congruent with your brain wiring, your DNA vibration, and the vibration of who you are, you feel good and you get it. It's your sweet spot. But remember, you can change the vibration of your DNA. You can also change the vibration of your spirit, but not really. You can change the vibration that your spirit is emanating by getting rid of the junk. So you're not really changing who you are, your essence. You're releasing your essence, in effect. Yes. Good question. First question was, your spirit has all this junk. Can't we just broadcast that go away? The answer is not necessarily, because there's a formula that is needed. Another being plus you together can overcome, quote, you. Another being, which is different than a person, another being plus you together can overtake or correct you. This is important because it's a mathematical equation of mass. But you don't have to worry about that right now because we're not going to get into that. That's a little down the road. So I'll erase it. And it'll just go in one ear and out the other, and you won't even remember it anyway. Okay, brain broadcasting, you the spirit, brain wiring, DNA. Yes, 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 yes. Let me come over. Good question. The question is, when releasing your essence or getting rid of, removing the junk from the spirit, are a lot of the exercises that we do in Jin helping that occur? Yes, and there's a lot of things that you can do. Some work better than others, some work faster than others, some work better with some people than other people to kind of clear that junk away. The Callahan techniques, Mary Miller, the I Ching system, Scientology auditing, Dianetic auditing, Mortar Best technology, Alpha Biotics, Lee Beamer. There's virtually hundreds of ways out there, or methods, that, again, some are better than others, some are more codified and more systematic than others. But they all help at stripping away all the junk here. But there are four considerations. Clearing away this is probably the toughest. You can broadcast anything you want. That's relatively easy. If you understand your brain wiring, that's going to help you be more self-aware of what's best for you. Your DNA vibration is what it is, but by listening to audios, going to functions, participating in recognition, reading books, and doing all these exercises, that's going to get your thinking changed so that this starts being more congruent and in line. So that's almost automatically happening. Just by being in Jin and going through the whole process, the system, this starts changing automatically. This you're in control of. This you just have to be aware of, which just leaves this. And this, over time, by doing certain things, can start being released as well. But you're never, almost virtually, never going to get this completely cleared. And let me point out one other important factor. The most important thing here is you don't really have to do anything to achieve great success in your life. If you look at the Forbes 400, none of them, I don't think, have been to Lee Beamer. I don't think anyone are wearing cards for Mary Miller, I Ching systems. I don't think any of them meditate. I don't think any of them have gone to see a doctor more to best practitioner. Do you understand? In other words, you don't have to do anything as long as your broadcast is in alignment with the brain wiring, the DNA, and this. If you do nothing else but just line it up, you get what you want. And this is an important concept because everybody's out there, you know, yeah, there are a lot of things that can help you achieve your goals faster. And if your DNA and brain wiring are really messed up and you have so much junk on who you are, where you're not even close to vibrating or broadcasting opulence or money or health, then yeah, you have to change some of these things. Because if you're broadcasting health, but your DNA is vibrating sickness, and you have so much junk on your spirit, it's vibrating sickness, then no matter how much you broadcast health, unless these two things change, you're never going to be in alignment. And you're not going to get it. If you want money and you keep broadcasting, I want $10,000 a month, but your DNA broadcasts, you're broke, man, you're broke, you're broke. And you, the spirit, says only criminals get rich, and that's what you're vibrating. You can vibrate all day, you can broadcast all day long, $10,000 a month, it's never going to come in because it's not congruent with these two. The brain wiring is your doing. That's your physical activity. Not your vibration, it's your physical activity. So the key here is broadcast that's congruent with these two things, but if these two things aren't broadcasting, we'll call it just some of the basics, like health and prosperity, then you got to do something to change it. The fact of the matter is the people on the Forbes 400 list had an unfair advantage. Their DNA was already broadcasting money. They were brain wired for money, and their spirit vibrated money. All they had to do is think of what they wanted. I want a yacht. You know something? I want a yacht. Poof, yacht. I mean, that's really it. But the problem is, when you have that ability, and you don't have to actually have to work for it, then generally, if you look, there are other problems in their life. Because if their vibration here is money, and they're wired for money, they die of cancer. Because they're not vibrating health. Or they have other problems with family relationships or other issues. Because their vibration isn't clean, it's out of balance. What Jin does is allows you not only to change these vibrations, but in effect clean them up so that they're more balanced. So not only can you achieve, let's say, prosperity or money or health, which are two important things, and you have other good things in your life as well. In other words, you can get it all. But that really only happens when you clean it up. And the whole Jin system is designed to do that. Throughout history, people never cleaned up anything because if they were getting money, that's all that they thought was important until their health faded. Then they tried to use their money to buy their health. It didn't work, and they all died. And they used their money to try to improve their relationships, but that didn't work. So even though that they achieved great wealth, they didn't know how to clean up the DNA vibration or clean up the spiritual vibration, so that they could broadcast health, they could broadcast better relationships, And therefore, they could be in alignment with them as well as making money. The point here is, you don't have to have a complete working knowledge and understanding at this point, but at least you have to understand just a little. So the first thing you have to understand is your DNA comes from your parents. It's biological, and it vibrates. And that vibration could be geared to money, it could be geared to good relationships, it could be geared to chaos, it could vibrate calamity, it could vibrate illness, it vibrates something. That vibration partially comes from the biology, the bloodline, as well as who you are spiritually vibrating, or how you're spiritually vibrating. That DNA vibration can be changed. And it can be changed by your thoughts. It can also be influenced by outside things, such as crystals or gold or magnets or electronics. Some of these outside influences on the DNA can enhance the exact vibration or change it or alter it. Next is you all have brain wiring, and that brain wiring gives you something that you can physically do or how you think. So that brain wiring means you could be a good artist, a good piano player, a musician. Could mean that you're good in sports. Could mean you think analytically. Could mean you think esoterically. Could mean you could be good with mathematics or history or art. You know, you look at beautiful paintings. And I look at beautiful paintings and I go, is that a beautiful painting? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand. Somebody else stares at this thing for hours. And it's like, oh, the paint strokes. And it's like, I just don't get it. We're wired different. So some people are scientifically minded, mathematically minded, artistically minded, or physically gifted in some area. That's the brain wiring. Next, and you can't change that. And this is important in business because a lot of people want to run a company when they aren't wired to run a company. Doesn't mean you can't start a company and be the founder, but bring in somebody whose brain is wired to run the company. That's a big error of entrepreneurs. Next is the spiritual vibration that you have. We all have almost identical spiritual vibrations, but all different. But it's pure, it's love. It's just pure energy, it's pure essence. All different, but very similar. Over the years, or if you believe in lives before, over the millennium, we have postulates and decisions and things occurred where we start adding stuff on, changing or altering or hiding or suppressing our own essence. So that vibration began to alter and change and morph. And it's in effect suppressed, which is why we say what really happens here is in Jin we help release your abilities. We're not giving you abilities you didn't have, we're simply releasing the abilities that you innately have. So by doing a number of things, you can peel off some of the things that are suppressing or hindering your essence vibration, your pure love vibration, which is your total potential. So your total potential is blocked. There's things on top of it, and there's a series of things that you could potentially be doing to strip it off, kind of, and let more of who you are out over time. And we provide a lot of that in Jin. Yes. The question is, where would you put the ego? I'm not sure, because psychologists who use words like ego, superego, and so forth, you know, their perspective of things, I'm not sure how you'd relate it to this. One thing I can tell you is the perspective that we're coming from is not to help everyone. It's really to make the able more able, to make the already capable more capable. Because I, like you, I've seen people that come in who are just, you know, I don't believe how this, and they just, and I say, there's nothing I can do. You know, unless you believe it, unless you come to that conclusion, you're useless. You're wasting your time. You know, there's nothing. Listen, forget it. Just, as a matter of fact, I think you should just basically say that this lifetime, you are going to be miserable and broken. There's nothing that anybody or anything is going to do to help it. I think that's really, you just got the raw end of the deal, man. And nothing is going to change. I agree. And I have told people that. Because, you know, it's like, look, there's nothing. I'm not here to argue with you or fight you or try to save the poor. Look, you know, if you're not already at some level of desire, success, movement in life, you know, let's not waste each other's time. Because you have just way too much work to do. There's just too much work to do on you, you know. I'm not going to waste mine. Well, good question. The question is, what is the resonant frequency? Inanimate objects have one frequency. So a bar of gold has one frequency. Human beings are different than any other animal because we have three frequencies here. What we broadcast on purpose, our spiritual frequency, our DNA. So those are the three things that we have. We have three frequencies. So there is no resonant frequency. They're all together. And together, they create if there is a resonance frequency, something that's 24/7, it would be you and DNA, but that's not true because we think 24/7 even in dreams. So we're broadcasting 24/7. So the resonant frequency is constantly changing. It's between the almost static DNA frequency, almost static spiritual frequency, but the constantly changing thought frequency, which changes, it's like a recipe. You keep adding or subtracting something from the soup, keeps changing the taste.
But do we not all have a natural frequency?
No, we don't all have a natural frequency. We all have a DNA frequency 24/7 and a spiritual vibration going 24/7. They're pretty much static, but they're not 100% static. But we also broadcast 24/7, even during sleep, which means that broadcast is changing constantly. So our resonant frequency is constantly in a state of flux and change, which makes us completely unique in the universe compared to inanimate objects. That's a very good question. Okay, question over here. Yeah, the question is, are there interim signs that you're in alignment with the broadcasting and your frequency? The sign is always the same. You feel good. Because most people, when they broadcast, feel bad. When they think of what they want, they just feel a lack. They feel an emptiness, or they feel bad that they don't have it. That's common. So to get in alignment is to feel good. Yes. Let me give you an example. The question is, what's an example of spiritual junk or stuff that's kind of suppressing your essence, right? Any type of postulate that you make. I was a kid, I was driving my bicycle. And I was driving my bicycle to see my friend. And a neighbor had two poodles. These poodles were never on a leash. These poodles barked like crazy, and they bit people. Now, today, the poodles have been put down. The person who owned the poodles would have been, you know, put in jail. Back then, if you know the dog bites, stay away from the dog. I mean, that was the attitude back then. The police would say, the dog bites. What are you going over the house for? Leave the dog alone. I mean, so I'm riding my bicycle by the house, and these poodles come tearing out of the yard, which I knew they would, and I was bicycling real fast. So if I go real fast, I can beat the poodle. So I'm looking at the house, and I start going real fast, and then the poodle starts coming up. And I'm looking at the poodle to my right coming up, but they're working as a team. The other poodle was hiding over on the left side of the street for the ambush. So as I'm looking, thinking, ha, 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 I beat the poodle, still petrified and scared to death of the poodle, this other poodle then cuts me off, jumps on my leg as I'm biking, and, you know,
nips, doesn't bite my leg. I mean, there's no blood, but of course, to me, it was, you know, the attack of the angry poodle. And I fall off my bike, and of course, my head is filled with poodles eating me, right? Laughing. I start crying, and I run screaming for my mother, you know, and now I'm terrorized. I can't leave the house because I'm so afraid of the poodle. So there's an example. It's a postulate. It's a choice. It's a decision. Something you decide. Poodles are bad. Poodles are evil. I hate poodles. I'm afraid of dogs. Dogs are bad. I don't want to leave the house. You start saying all these things, and all of a sudden you become a recluse. You don't leave the house. You suppress who you really are. You now hate dogs. You know, that was a decision for a long time. And when I finally cleared that up, I don't like dogs now. I love dogs. And if I see a dog, I just can't, you know, help but go up to this dog and talk to the dog. And if the dog barks, I don't get frightened at the dog. The dog's barking, you know? So, but up until that point, until I cleaned it up, I had this, was always terrified and petrified of dogs. So we start piling little things like that on top of each other, and it starts changing who we are. It can make us shy. It can make us fearful of going into business. It can make us fearful of getting into a relationship. Generally, what it does is it makes us stop doing something, generally. It makes us fearful, afraid of some consequence. So it suppresses us. That's what this does. And that's why we say we're releasing your abilities. It's about releasing abilities. Yes? The question is about when you go into a room, some animals will avoid certain people, and other animals would just come over. I went over to a gal's house years ago that had two cats, and it was, I think, the first or second date with this girl, and she invited me over to the house for a cup of coffee. So I walked in, and there's just two cats, and I see the two cats over in the second room, and they're, like, you know, way toward the other room. I said, "Oh, you have cats." She goes, "Oh, yeah, but they hate people. They'll never come out." And as she's saying this, both cats come walking out into the room and start rubbing up against my leg and purring. And I go, "What are you talking about? These animals are good." She's like, "I've never seen that. They don't purr with me." You know, she was like, "What's going on?" Well, the answer is, it's not a connection. It's just your vibration, which happens to match the frequency of that particular animal. And some people, like, you know, St. Francis of Assisi had a vibration, or Peter Ragnar, for example. If you've ever heard Peter Ragnar tell the story, he has this ranch, you know, bears come and play on his porch, and he plays with them and so forth. And I had that at my ranch, too, up here in Ojai. I had two eagles that nested on my property. I had a family of bears. We had coyotes, bobcats, a lot of rattlesnakes. And you will never see a mountain lion. You just don't see them. You could be hiking 10 hours a day for your whole life in these hills, and you will never see a track of a mountain lion, never mind a mountain lion. First day I'm at my house, I come down to get some coffee, and I see this black mass against the window, which is next to my front door. And I go, "Do I have a hobo, like, sleeping on my porch?" So I can't open the door. It's leaning against the door. So I go out the backyard. I'm half asleep. And I kind of sneak around the front to see what it is. It's a mountain lion sleeping on my porch. And I'm thinking, you know, I better get away from this mountain lion. So I go back in the house. Mountain lion's gone. Okay, fine. Next day, Laura Stinchfield, who is an animal trainer, is over at my house. And she says, Kevin. And I, "What's the matter?" She goes, look in the tree. And she's lived up her whole life. And I looked, and it's the mountain lion sleeping in the tree looking. And she said, "I've never seen a mountain lion." I said, "Well, yeah, you'll probably see him a lot because he was sleeping on my porch last night." And I said, "How do I get rid of this mountain?" She goes, "Don't get rid of the mountain lion. You know, it's a mountain lion." I go, "Yeah, but they eat people and things." Yeah. Maybe he's, like, getting ready and stalking me. "Oh, no, you know, that's not what they do, and they're not," they're pleasant animals, yeah, let's have a pet of the mountain lion. So, yeah, people's vibration works with animals. You don't have to worry about that. If you start, quote, cleaning up your energy, primarily animals will be repelled by fear. And those who have less fear, general animals will come toward. So when people have a lot of buildup of fear, that's a good indicator for you. If animals generally don't like you, then you probably have something inside, maybe hidden, something you don't even acknowledge or even sense. There's some fear there.
Is that something?
Yeah, it's not brain wiring. It's just some people, again, right from the giddy up, animals come to them. Their DNA vibration and their spiritual vibration are just in line with animals. And that's, it's not good or bad, right or wrong. It's just who you are. We have to break for lunch because it is the time. Then I'm going to start giving you the instructions on exactly what to do, how to broadcast, and how to change these things. And at the end of the day, exactly how to manifest what you want to have happen. That's what it's all about. Have a wonderful lunch. We'll see you at 2 o'clock.